of the vastness of the mercy of God, there really is no end in sight if we begin to consider these things. And as you know, in the Psalms, so much the mercies of God are displayed and worshipped. And I'd like for us to turn to Psalm 107. This is the beginning of Book 5, according to the way the Psalms are aligned. And this opening psalm, song, is very precious to all those who love the Lord, having to do with the mercy of God. We'll just read a couple of verses, and actually we'll read the whole psalm in our meditation this morning regarding God's mercy. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And then, just look at verse 43, the last verse. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the mercy of the Lord. Now we're dealing with this matter so vast, the mercy of the Lord. Even here within this book, regardless of what translation you have, this word mercy will come up and be translated in different ways. This word chesed, most commonly used for mercy, is so big. In my particular New King James Version, it says His mercy endures forever. Perhaps you have New American Standard, it says His loving kindness endures forever. You look down later on, you'll see the word goodness come up in my version, but it's really the same word chesed, this same word. And then the very last verse we just read, you will understand this mercy of the Lord, loving kindness, however you want to translate it. This is a very vast and wonderful subject that the singer has taken up. And we want to sing the song with him. You notice what he's saying here regarding this wonderful universal song of the Old Testament. Give thanks unto the Lord. He is good. His mercy endures forever. This is the song that they're always singing. And he's exhorting the saints to sing this song too. We see that it's indeed this song of mercy that brings us all together. Notice in verse 3, He's gathered us out of the lands from east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. We have one thing in common. We've all received His mercy. And that's what makes us one. Despite our differences, I'm a Yankee from the north. You're a rebel from the south. Whatever the story is, we have one cause for oneness together. It's to come together and give thanks to the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. When I was a child, my father would always take us, three children, into New York City to the American Museum of Natural History. And, you know, they stuffed all the African animals and everything, and they had dinosaur bones on display. It was a very awesome experience for a kid to go to. One of the things that always interested me is that one of their displays, where they had a number of stuffed African animals, was the Salt Lick. That was the name of the display. And in here they had a little pool in front. You know, they would actually have I don't know how big the thing was, but I would say, you know, went back 15 feet and was 25 feet wide. And they'd have a fake pool in the front, and then all of these stuffed animals. Now, here was a lion, and here was a gazelle, and they were drinking from the same salt lick. And the explanation on the little card underneath says that the salt lick, because all animals need this salt in order to live, this is like, for some strange reason, neutral ground. And appreciated neutrality. They will not attack each other because they all need it. And so the gazelle, of course, very nervously, comes down to the water, and here's even some predator drinking from the same. And you know how different we all are. But there's something of neutrality in the church as we come together, because we all need this mercy. Now, we can't live without this mercy. So let's call a halt. As James says, grudge not one against another. Let's get down to the mercy pond and have a lick. It brings us all together from the north, from the south, from the east, and the west. This is a very beautiful psalm, and as we look at its structure, we see that it's quite beautifully constructed, because what the psalmist will do, and we'll look at in just a minute, is he describes four different people. Verse 4, we see the first one, they wandered in the wilderness. Verse 10, we see the second one, those who sat in darkness. Verse 17, the third one, fools. Verse 23, those who go down to the sea in ships. Four different people, or categories of people, if you want to say. And the singer, of course, sings these songs of the four different types, because what he's saying is, we all need the mercy of God. I hope you find yourself within these four, because he's trying to describe universal sort of people. And his point is very simple. No matter who you are, and no matter from where you start out, you end up in the pit. There's some people say, oh, look at those foolish people. They'll never make anything of themselves. We'll go down to the sea in ships. We'll never do mighty things. We all end up in the pit. Start off from wherever you want. Start off with wisdom and intelligence and a high education. Or start out dumb and rebellious and working for the sanitation department. It makes no difference. We all end up in the pit needing the mercy of God. This is the whole point. All the wonderful wisdom of this song. So we got four different guys. And in these four different guys, we will see that they all ended up needing mercy. Look, in verse 6, regarding the first one, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Notice in verse 13, for the second guy, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, he saved them out of all their distresses. Notice in verse 19, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, he saved them out of all distresses. Do you get the sense of this sort of a pattern here? In verse 28, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, he brought them out of all their distresses. Do you see something here? They all got in the pit, and they all finally came up with the wisdom. Duh, I gotta cry out. Have mercy, have mercy. This is the secret of life. You get into the pit, don't be some kind of know-it-all, big shot. Just get down and cry out. And these guys all learned this lesson. And the amazing thing is, the Lord delivered all four brands of guys. Kellogg's, Post, Nabisco, and General Mills, yeah, exactly. That names the different pits. But the Lord had compassion on them all. The Lord is no respecter of persons. He doesn't save the wise. He saves the fool as well. He has mercy on them all. And this is just a testimony to the vastness of his mercy. Think of that. Think of that. Who he received by his mercy. Half of the people in any local church that you belong to, you wouldn't receive. Would you? You know, I'm talking about the scoundrels in the church. People who are different from you. That's who a scoundrel is. Well, you wouldn't receive that kind of people. How can God receive it? There's got to be one of the hardest verses, that one in Romans, that says, even if the Lord Jesus received you, now receive one another. That's slimy with mercy. It's hard. And that's why most of the time our churches, unfortunately, are so homogeneous. Because we have the process of natural selection. By whatever, financial level or socioeconomic level, all this kind of stuff. It's such a shame. Because the Lord receives them all. Oh, the Lord's going to have to stretch us in the mercy department, but we'll talk about that another time. Okay, so they all receive mercy, and now is laid upon those who have received mercy a completing requirement. And what is that? Now that you've received mercy, give thanks. And so we to do the same. Verse 8, for the first guy. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his mercy. I have goodness in my translation. I don't know what's in yours. It's that same word. Chesed. Oh, give thanks. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31. Oh, that men... Do you get the point? Oh, that men... You know, I'm almost constrained to believe that he's saying part of the reason we don't live in the good of our redemption is we don't speak enough about it. We don't testify enough. If again, as I say, a great condescension has come down from heaven and touched us and brought us up out of the pit, but there's something incomplete until we bring it back up to Him and give thanks unto Him and testify before God's people. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And here, the psalmist is almost, he says almost a plaintive thing. He's saying, you know, we've received mercy. Oh, that man would thank the Lord.